The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
It is good to have you here on this beautiful day that the Lord has given us as we gather together for the third Sunday after the Epiphany. The order of service is before you. We will follow that today. Following the service today, we have our one item congregational meeting, budget finalization next door. Also, with the time that remains, we'll have Bible study for that. We will also, the youth, along with some help, have put together a baked potato bar, so don't worry about going home hungry. Proceeds for that benefit our youth and heading to Colorado this summer for higher things. There's a sign-up sheet out there. There's two sign-up sheets, actually. One for the new Friday evening Bible study, Pew Sisters, Friday evening, first Friday of the month. So that's coming up February 7. There's a sign-up out there for that. There's also a sign-up out there for the Sweetheart Brunch for those who would like to come. And also there will be a baked goods auction for that, also to benefit the youth. So there will, please consider that as well. Also, there's still some 2020 calendars out there if you need one. Half price today, half price. So grab one of those for, so they're $5 now, right? Five for the big, three for the pocket ones. Those are out there. Long list of things here today. Be More Chill, the Nevada Union play, Friday through Sunday. Our very own acolyte and choir extraordinaire, Andrew, is in the play this week. Super Bowl is next Sunday, right? And so what we also are going to do is get yourself a can of soup and bring it here, and we'll have a big bucket to put in there. These actually, there were buy two, get three over at Safeway the other day. So if you run by there or grocery outlet or whatever, grab a can. If you got one in the pantry, just grab one, bring it by, and that will all go to IFM to support those in our community who need a little extra nutrition. So don't forget about that. That's why that can of soup was sitting there. Sometimes I need a reminder. In our prayers today, along with those that are in the bulletin, we also remember Eric's mother, Joan Gibbons, who had some back issues and had to see the doctor about that. Linda Whitmayer, one of our Wednesday attendees, who's having a thyroid procedure this week. Ann Powers again. We'll continue to pray for Janet as she's healing with her back, and also Bob Short as well. We continue to remember them in our prayers. Let us sing. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fourth chapter. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, And they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Today, Jesus preaches to you and to all people everywhere, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When a big winter storm builds off the coast, there are always people in the path of the tempest who don't want to listen. Meteorologists and the highway patrol plead on TV, there's a storm coming, you're not going to stop it, don't go up the hill this week. But of course, the people don't listen. I can take care of myself, I've got GPS, I know where the back roads are, I don't need help. And everything's fine, while the danger is just a radar image. But then the clouds build, and the wind starts to blow, and the rain and the snow start to fall. And now you want to escape, but you can't. You don't have the tools, you don't have the escape route, and you don't have the time. The storm has engulfed you. What happens then? Well, the very same CHP officers who warned you that this was going to happen have to come out and save you. They gave you the warning, and now they have to do what you wouldn't do and now can't do. And without them, you would perish. But with them, you escape death and receive to the continued gift of life. So kind of like the meteorologist warning you of the coming onslaught, Jesus says today, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now ask yourself, honestly, how is it even possible for you to repent? What exactly does repentance look like, and what does it mean? How can any of you be certain that you have repented well enough to gain the kingdom of heaven? Because you don't have any more willpower for repentance than I do. And even if you did have the desire to repent, what exactly are you going to do? What steps do you plan to take? How do you intend to follow through? How will you show Almighty God your progress? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The storm is right here. Jesus is right here, and Jesus is the judge of the living and the dead. So repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So like those skiers in a chain-free two-wheel drive Hyundai who waited too long, it doesn't matter how much you might want to escape the fate of those who refuse to repent. Because you don't have the power to repent. You have no escape route to repentance. So what happens? The very same Jesus who calls you to repentance comes in and saves you. Jesus is like the highway patrol officer up in Truckee who warns you to stay down the hill, but then comes out and gives you the very escape that you now need. Because first, the highway patrol gave you the command, and then, even while the wind blows, and even while the snow is covering the roads, he does for you what you wouldn't do and now couldn't. So in the same way, Jesus says to you, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But then, even when the kingdom of heaven is drawing near to you, Jesus does all the repenting for you. From beginning to end, without any help, without any contribution from you at all. So just as the rescue crew comes in and saves you from the deadly raging storm, Jesus gives you your repentance. He gives you your deliverance and escape from death. He gives you the certainty of forgiveness and life. Because when Jesus preaches, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he isn't just echoing the proclamation of John the Baptist, who came before him. Instead, Jesus' call to repentance taps back into the Old Testament, where God our Father spells out precisely how it is that he works that miracle of repentance for you. And so Jesus applies to you what God says through his prophets. Hosea said, "Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down and he will bind us up." God, your Father, wants you to know that repentance is something that he begins in you through the wrath and the condemnation of his law. God's holy law performs its work on you when it falls on you like an avalanche, so that God himself may dig you out, heal you, bind you up with the promises of forgiveness that are yours in Christ. So how do you repent? Repent by listening with your whole being to the entirety of God's holy word, by not resisting the way that it tears at you, that it accuses you, that it condemns you. You repent by allowing that storm to get too close, precisely so that you can call out to someone to come and save you. Isaiah writes, "O Israel, you will not be forgotten by me. I have blotted out your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like a mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you." God, your Father, wants you to know what repentance does for you through the preaching of forgiveness and of peace. So if Almighty God were still angry with you, you would have a reason to run, to flee from him. But he isn't angry, because the flood of Jesus' blood has quenched the fires of his wrath. So just as the TV meteorologists and the highway patrol only want your health and your well-being when they urge you to escape from the coming storm, so God our Father wants only your health and your well-being when he says to you, return, when he says to you, repent. Because Almighty God has washed away your sin with the blood of Jesus. All of your sins have disappeared like frost in the morning sun. So how do you repent? Again, by listening with your whole being to God's gospel promises, which he speaks to you on account of Christ's sacrifice for you. You repent by allowing Jesus to save you from the hurricane of God's judgment and divine wrath. So just as the CHP would have to save you from the deadly tempest of the raging storm, so Jesus gives you your repentance. He gives you your deliverance and your escape from death. He gives you the certainty of your forgiveness and your life. St. Matthew writes that Jesus began to preach saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." God wants you to know that your repentance isn't something that happens for you only once in a lifetime. Because repentance is a miracle that God produces in you repeatedly, continually, through the power of his holy word. And that's where this analogy of being rescued from a raging winter storm breaks down. Because no one ever voluntarily chooses to be caught in a natural disaster. But repentance is something that Almighty God continually works in you. Jesus doesn't preach repent as if it were a single action. He preached, be repenting, or continually repent. Never stop repenting. Because as long as you remain in this life, the law of God will never stop accusing you. The flames of judgment will not be far from your door. Be repenting and be continually repenting. Because as long as you remain in this life, your Lord will never fail to be your faithful and your courageous rescuer, delivering you again and again and again by the miraculous power of his promises. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's only one thing that Jesus has in mind for you, your rescue and your deliverance, your life and your salvation. And he rescues you and he delivers you every time that you're in danger. For he is your Savior. He is your God, the one who loves you. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise.